succeed in life and be able to face life and handle life and accomplish things in life on their own. For that is the point of raising children. The point is not to have adult children that you still got to prop up and still got to rebuke and punish and still got to take care of them. The point of raising children is for them to move on in life and to start accomplishing great things and doing great things for your kingdom and for your glory on their own. And Lord, I thank you for this beautiful and wonderful morning in so many ways. We pray for Harry, and we pray for Megan. And Lord, we know that you hate divorce, and we all ought to keep our vows and not go and make new vows when we know we have not kept the vows we made before. But Lord, they have already done it. They have already did what they said they were going to do. And it's up to us to pray for them. Because even though they are flawed individuals, as we all are, your holy word is not flawed, and your marriage institution that you created is not flawed, and it was honored today, it was upheld today as a beautiful thing, and we thank you for that, and traditional marriage was upheld. Marriage between a man and a woman. And it's okay that the man is white. It's okay that the woman is black. But we cannot have and will not tolerate a man marrying a man. And Holy Father God, if we're going to uphold your holy word, and even that church has to uphold your holy word. For you created Adam, the man, and Eve, the woman. You did not create Adam and Steve. And so, Holy Father God, all of that was held up as a beautiful thing, Lord, today, and a wonderful thing. And anybody in their right mind would have to give you glory, praise, and honor. Go ahead on and kneel down in your position, leave that alone and pray. And make sure speaker's on and focus on prayer. We're praying the same way we always pray. And Holy Father God, what an eventful day. What a fast-paced day with my children graduating and communicating back and forth with them. And then the wedding that we will not see. We will not see another wedding like that for another at least 25, 30 years. And it was interesting that the mother of the bride, who happens to be a black woman, said that she was pregnant with the bride. Megan, when she was watching Charles and Diana get married. And of course she had no thought, no idea that the child in her womb would one day marry their son. What an interesting situation. And what it does say to everybody here and everybody out there, as I have told my children, it does not matter where you come from. It matters where you're going. And no matter your background, God is very interested in raising you up and using you as a shining star for His glory, His praise, and His honor. And if you live by His principles and trust in Him and pray to Him and love Him back and fear Him, respect Him and reverence Him and obey Him and be faithful to Him, there's no telling where God will take you. And I am a living witness. And everybody who knows me and knows about me knows that I'm a living witness to that. For Lord, I never dreamt of where You have taken me. And I know how she feels. I know how so many other people feel who have come out of the dust of life to rise up through Christ and to just be standing in places you never thought you would stand. Do things that you never thought you would do. And nobody else thought you would do them either. And so, Lord, help people to stop getting depressed, defeated, and disgusted with their situation as it is. Because it's in that situation that God, that You, Lord, can lift them up into, and You will actually use the situation they were brought up in to make their mark in the world for Your glory, praise, and honor. It is a beautiful thing. On the other hand, there are foolish people, foolish acting people, who don't understand that, and they miss out on their opportunities. They miss out on their privileges. They miss out on their blessings. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess, Lord, our sins of disobedience, foolishness, and pride, rebelliousness and stubbornness, lying, dishonesty, and deceit, for there are some Christians who are still lying, bad attitudes and bad spirits, grieving and quenching Your Holy Spirit. And for Jesus Christ's sake, what's wrong? I can't hear you. What? Cut the mic on. Okay, write that down. Thank you, Danielle. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know it's not charged up, you need to charge it up. Was it charged up? Huh? Okay, you need to charge it up now. Get whatever you need to get, okay? Thank you. Take him there. Take him there now. Just lay. Are both of them in there? Huh? We should have two. Okay, go ahead and get that one. Oh shit, go ahead and get it. Move that out of the way. Holy Father God, we continue in prayer. Lord, after the devil did what I thought he would do, trying to hinder your word from going forward, okay, like I said, write that down. Now, then they just toss it on over. Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives of those people who have that issue. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness from their lives and from this place, and that your holy gospel would go forward, that your holy word would go forward, and that your holy name would be glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil throughout this morning and early afternoon and throughout this evening and night. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ again, and we thank you, Lord, for this eventful and wonderful day with my children graduating from college with second and third and fourth degrees. And Lord, I thank you for the great communication that we've had today. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the upholding of marriage, traditional biblical marriage between a man and a woman. And Lord, I cannot speak for you, but and I dare not do that in this what I'm getting ready to say, but I believe that you would agree with me that you would we would rather see a divorced man or woman get married to the opposite sex than two men get married or two women get married, for that is an abomination in your sight and in this world, and it is designed by the devil to destroy the human race in every sense of the word. It is worse than a volcano. And Lord, and it will certainly take people to the underground volcano of hell and the lake of fire. Leave that alone and pray. Get it on the site. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed give us sweet victory over the world, the devil, and the flesh and the demonic Judas spirit, for he is kicking up his little demonic head today. And I know that we're going to have a great devotional, and I know that we're going to have great services this weekend. And in spite of the devil and in spite of the demons of hell that are fighting against us, and in spite of the spirit of Judas, betrayal, and Sanballat and Tobias, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would indeed revive us again, but help us not only to pray for revival, but Lord, to be about revival, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves before you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Harry and Meghan would keep their vows and make the marriage work, and help them to truly become born-again Christians, and to not try to do it on their wits, but to do it according to your holy word. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, one thing I do like about what happened today is for some people, they need to wait until they get themselves together around 30-ish and before they marry, and maybe they'll have enough maturity at that point to be serious about it. And but it is, if they want to have children, it is better for them to go ahead and get married while they're young. But Lord, let your will be done. We thank you that nobody was hurt today, and there were no attacks in a multicultural, diverse environment like that. And we thank you, Lord, for how you are leading the monarchy to change and to be more open after a 1,000-year reign. And so, Lord, we pray that through it all, through whatever church, your gospel would be preached, people would hear your gospel, and by the power of your Holy Spirit come to know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today we cast all of our cares and burdens and concerns upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And we also thank you, Lord, for the song that was sung at Liberty University this morning. We've come this far by faith, and that is so fitting for us today. We've come this far by faith. And let's join Liberty University in singing that this morning. Denico, look at me. Go ahead and put that up. We've come this far by faith. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Not only every year, but every month. Not only every month, but every week. Not only every week, but every day. Not only every week, but every day, but every hour and every minute, Lord, you have provided for us and blessed us exceedingly abundantly far above all that we should ask or think. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for our every soul in our family to remember what you did for us, because only foolish people, foolish acting people, forget what you have done. And Holy Father God, as you know, we have we're in the process of changing diets and so forth, and it's not easy, and I pray that you'll grant me your grace. I thank you for the fact that I have lost 20 pounds, and I pray that you'll help me to stick with it and help the rest of the saints who are struggling with that to stick with it. And Lord, we cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace and with your joy. And we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel through this ministry and to be saved. We pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived and encouraged, and $3 million to come in to help us to be a help and blessing to other people who are writing in for simple things such as Bibles, pamphlets, books, teaching books, Sunday school stuff, bikes, and things that they need to reach people with the gospel. And Lord, I know that you're going to do it. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would have all of these things come to pass in your timing. Let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake. And Lord, again, I praise you and I thank you for my children. And I thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed them to succeed in their academics, and Lord, and to graduate with multiple degrees. Use, Lord, their education, and help them to use their education for your glory, your praise and honor, and for the furtherance of the gospel, and for souls to be saved and lives to be changed, and help them to realize that they would not have finished college if it had not been for you, in every sense of the word. And it's a miracle as to what you have done. And Lord, help them to apply everything, every good thing they have learned for the salvation of lost people and for your glory, praise, and honor. And Lord, I pray for all of my children and all of the children under the sound of my voice, and all of the children of Christian parents everywhere. Help them to trust in you, to love you back, to fear you, to respect you, to reverence you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. And Lord, bless them exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we should ask or think. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would heal all of our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and bodies in every way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Pray out. Ladies and gentlemen, what an eventful day. May God bless all of the college graduates. And I am happy and proud to say that I have some, and what a privilege it is to say that. That's a miracle for anybody in our family to graduate from any college. And now we got one on her way to being a PhD. And one more step to getting her PhD, and I believe she'll be the first one in the history of our family since slavery to get a PhD. And if anybody in my family knows of someone else in our family who has a PhD, please let me know, and I stand corrected. I'm getting a D-min here after a while, by and by. But a PhD is different than a D-min, Doctor of Ministry. Welcome, my beloved, on this very eventful, energetic, exciting, fast-paced, moving Saturday morning. Very emotional Saturday morning. And whenever you hear your children tell you thank you for when they're graduating, for helping them to get to this point in life, and they do that from their heart spontaneously, which means they mean it. They don't have any reason. They're already on their own. They don't have any reason to tell me that. That's when everything pays off, my beloved. That's when you know that you know you did what God wanted you to do in raising your children. And if one of them can do it, two of them can do it, three of them can do it, everybody can do it. You have done the job. And I give God the glory, praise, and honor. And so that, of course, I don't care who you are as a father or a mother. I don't care how. I heard somebody say the other night, I'm bad, bad Leroy Brown. The baddest man in the whole town. I'm not going to say the other word he said. I don't care how big and bad you are, when your children look back and wonder how they got over, and they thank God and they thank you for what you did and what you sacrificed to get them to where they are and to train them in such a way and discipline them in such a way that they can flat do it on their own. There's nothing better than that on earth. There's no greater reward. There's no certificate. There's no degree. There's no plaque. Nothing that anybody can give me more valuable than those words from my children who have accomplished great things. And so, and every parent who has a child out there, you know what I'm talking about, who's graduating. We're not talking about trying to graduate, but has graduated. And so, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to the White House Family Devotions. Believe it or not, this is number 363. And Monday will be 365, and when I cannot believe to this day that my entire family, all of my children, my wife, and my chief advisors to our ministry want me to continue these family devotions. Now, we're going to continue our family devotions, but there's less stress on our family devotion. We get up and get up, and we be in our pajamas and everything else, and sit around and we pray. This right here has a whole lot more stress to it. And so, if you would, dear friends, I may continue, but I may take a break until September the 1st, if that's okay with you all. And we'll have our family devotions, but then start that back up in the fall and give my family a break. And I appreciate, and I probably would not give them a break if they didn't want to do it, but they want to do it. And so be praying with us about that. I may just keep on going on. I don't know. And but we're going to let the Lord's will be done. Join me in singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. They sung a song at the wedding today that they have sung, they sing quite a bit when they have big functions like this. I think it's O English hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, not Jehovah, the Great Redeemer. I want you to find that, Maestro, and see if we can sing that. Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. And you can get it from the program from the wedding today of Harry, whose real name is Henry. I guess he doesn't want to be associated with Henry the Great, and because in some areas Henry the Great was not that great, so his name is Harry. They call him Harry. And if you doubt that all things are possible, go talk to Meghan Markle, and they have a little thing they say about her now called the Markle Sparkle. Anything is possible, my friends. Anything is possible. And I don't know, she's an out-and-out born-again Christian yet. I haven't heard. But I tell you one thing, she turned that old, staid British Episcopal church out today with some black folks singing up in there today. One lady said that... One person said, "Those old kings and queens up there, they've never seen it. They've never heard anything like that in their life." And they were looking around, and Prince Charles looked up. You know, he had that look on his face when they started singing in the church, and as. And Harry, you know, he's black already. He went right with it. As they were walking out of the church, they brought up an old Negro spirit. Amen. Amen. Prince Charles had looked at him and said, "What? Amen. I thought we said the benediction already." And his wife, Parker Bowles, whatever, she didn't know. She put a big hat on her head to hide her face the whole time because she didn't know what was going to go on. And then they broke out in, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Prince Charles, what? This little light. The Markle Sparkle, she turned it out. Yeah, that, you say, "Well, how you know that was her?" I'm surely the queen thought that. No, the queen never thought that in her life. The queen, they said the queen told, just do what you want, baby. And okay, and little Megan said, okay. She turned it out. There have never been that many black folk in that church in 1,000 years. And you know, Prince Charles has tickled me for 40 years. The look on his face, he looked up. What? And he trying to keep up with the. He didn't even try to pat his feet. He couldn't do it. Just don't have that in him. And the queen, she just, you know, you can't tell what the queen is thinking. But little Miss Megan, she turned it out. There were so many. And then I began to wonder, these white folks might get upset because we had a black preacher who he took him to the old black church. He cut loose up there, and Prince Charles did that number he always does like this here today. He got one eye down, one eye up like that while he was preaching, and then. So you had a black preacher. Then you had a black lady to pray, who was the chaplain for the queen. And then you had this black choir, who turned it out twice. And all the white folks, bless their heart, they were doing this. Everybody just looking. Like they're looking at a tennis match. They're afraid. They like it, but they're afraid to express anything. And you know, in the Episcopal Church, you can't clap. No. You can't do that. And then I said, okay. Well, they threw with the black people. And then you, of course, you had the black mother sitting up there, and she didn't know what to do. Bless her heart. And that's okay. Well, they threw with the black folks now, but when Megan and Harry walked out to the side door, and this was not the final walkout, but they walked out to the side door, and lo and behold, here's another black man playing a cello, whatever you call it. And he can play it too. He was able to play it. A black man, young black man, and he played. And you know, we as black folk, just like the choir, the Episcopal choir, if they have a choir, they stand straight up, shoulders up, back arch, and robes on. Nobody moves. But you know. The black folk choir. Rocking back and forth. And you do a little move, little jive in there. What? In the Episcopal church. Even the Episcopal black preacher took him to the old black church. He started moving around up there. And then Charlie, no, please don't move too much now. Don't move too much. And now, how many of y'all know? I heard one person say a cello. It's called a cello. I call it a cello. It's C-E-L-L-O. Okay. Whatever it is, it's one of them instruments you sit on the floor, and you got to play it like that. Whatever it is. It's a black young black man. I said, boy, Megan just gonna bring all the black people in here. No wonder she want her father to come so bad. And I said, wait a minute, Megan, everybody's going to be black. And you know, and see, he can't just play the cello or whatever it is. Like, you know, the white folks. The white folks, they play a little. No emotion whatsoever. All pulled up. That's it. He got the cello. This is ancient. Israel. He got it. He built all like this. Oh boy, here we go. But it was all good. And he played song after song. I thought he was gonna play one song and go sit down somewhere. He played three songs back to back. I said, what in the world? Y'all trying to kill Charles up here. Y'all trying to kill you trying to kill Prince Charles. But anyway, it was done very well, and it honored the institution of marriage between a man and a woman. Amen, somebody. Glory be to God. So this has been one day. And historically speaking, it's interesting, stuff like that. See, that's not going to happen again. See, I was alive and well. I don't know how many years ago now, man. 40, I guess almost 40 years ago. Oh, man, I can't believe it's been almost 40 years. I was alive and well, and I watched Charles and Diana get married. And everybody who saw their body language knew that that was not going to work, even on that day. But I was there, and I was also there the day she died. And so forth, and those boys have been through a lot, and so I was. It was just, you know, historically speaking, I thank God this morning that I was allowed to see this, see her children and his children get married, his baby get married, saw the other boy get married. The truth of the matter is, his Harry's brother. I forget his name, but he and his wife, I don't know how they did it, but they got some of the most adorable children, period. Just beautiful, bright-looking children. And that baby girl, Charlotte, she stole the show. You would think that George used to steal the show, but Charlotte stole the show. Looking just like her grandmother. And that's a fact. I mean, her great-grandmother. Looking just like, and got the same kind of confidence as her grandmother. And if you don't believe me, look at the video. And her mother was telling her something, and she said, I know. Little girl, she said, I know. Thank you. Okay, you don't have to tell me. I know how to wave. I can do the roar wave. See, the roar wave is like this right here. You don't be doing this. Just don't do stuff like this. Oh, no. That's you cannot be a roar waving all like this. Don't get too excited. The roar wave is right at the wrist and the hand. That's it. You just do it like that. And Megan was born doing that. Megan got it down better than the Queen. Anyway, it's part fun thing. It really does not have any real meaning. They know that. We all know that. But it glorified, on a serious side, the institution of marriage. A man and a woman getting hooked up in marriage and holy matrimony. And it's a more beautiful thing when the people truly love each other and respect each other and are interested in each other. Don't just marry anybody. Marry somebody you love and respect and you're interested in being with, and somebody you can talk to after you get out of the bed. Amen, somebody. So again, congratulations to all of the college graduates all across the country and around the globe. My hat is off to the president of Liberty University for letting God touch his heart to invite a former president who he disagrees with. He showed Christian love to President former President Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, showed Christian love to him, and that just shows the grace of God. And basically, President Jerry Falwell Jr. said, anybody who's been teaching Sunday school for almost 70 years, it can't be that bad. They still disagree on some things, but that shows class and that shows grace. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor for that. From President Reagan to President Trump to President H.W. Bush to President Jimmy Carter. And so it was a great commencement, and we give God the glory, praise, and honor for the good that was done. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, make it your goal to become more like Christ by refusing to let sin have its way and pursuing instead that which is pure and good in the sight of God. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reciting or reading the New Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. Don't say it if you don't believe it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. Ephesians 6:14, as we move into the family verses. Yes, this is a part of the family verses, I believe. I call it that. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. If you're having trouble in your family, if you have issues in your family, even issues that seem as though they will not go away, you need to start reading with your family Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 all the way to the end of Ephesians chapter 6, and you and your family members, everybody, need to apply the Word of God to their lives. You see, in God's economy, God does, listen to me very carefully, because some of you are going to say, oh, you're trying to make God sound harsh. I'm not trying to make God sound harsh. I'm stating a fact. God does not care what you think about what He has told you to do. He wants you to do it, and then you'll think differently about it. Okay? It doesn't matter to Him how you feel about His commandments. Jesus asked God in the flesh, asked Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. You don't know what his commandments are? Go to the Old Testament and read his commandments. Contrary to what Andy Stanley is saying, we cannot unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible for the New Testament believers. It's always been the Bible. It's always been the Word of God. And then in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Old Testament was written for our examples. And we need to therefore go by what the Old Testament says. You cannot be a follower of Christ and you lie every day. You cannot be a believer in Christ and you are a thief. Those are two commandments from the Ten Commandments that you have broken right there and that you're breaking. And that's why Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I might obey my family and just keep on doing these devotionals because I feel in my heart and in my spirit a fire, as Jeremiah called it, shut up in my bones, that somebody needs to hear this. I know for a fact somebody needs to hear this. I know I'm right about it. The devil be damned. If he's going to fight me on this, let him fight me. I might obey my children and my chief advisor and keep on going. I might just continue to go on right on from Monday into Tuesday because I believe somebody needs to hear this. Doesn't matter what you think about God's commandments. Man, who do you think you are? Obey the word of God. Then you'll think differently. You'll live a more blessed life. You'll live a more peaceful life. Verse 14, listen to me, dear friends. Jesus said it. The truth will set you free. And that is so true. I mean, that's so right and correct. If you would listen to the truth, take heed to the truth, and obey the truth, you will be a free somebody no matter what you're going through. I guarantee it to you. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. There you go. Boom. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Dr. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus this question. I think with a sneer or a smirk, if you will, on his face and in his voice. Jesus had said to him, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Can somebody say amen to the word of God before I shout up in this place? And I'm not supposed to shout because I'm a Baptist, number one. I'm not supposed to shout right now because I am not preaching. So don't get me started. Every preacher knows what I'm talking about. Something happens deep on the inside that makes a man crazy and wants to just go ahead on and cut loose. Make him want to be a Baptist costal and cut a step real quick, like, hold me down, Lord. This is a devotional. This is a devotion. It's supposed to be a devotional. I'm supposed to sit down and be cool, calm, and collected like a cucumber. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. My God, help us. Jesus' assertion shows that there is an identifiable body of knowledge that may be labeled the truth, and that Jesus himself testified to it. While philosophers and theologians write volumes on the subject of the truth, I can only comment briefly. First, God is the truth. Can somebody say amen? Webster defines truth as conformity to fact or reality. Something is true if it is conformable to an essential reality. Thus, truth does not refer to our subjective perceptions. It makes no difference how you feel about the truth of reality, but to what really exists external to ourselves, the truth. Since God is the only essential reality in the universe, even the Episcopal preacher said that this morning at the wedding, that God made the worlds all by himself. It would behoove us to look to him and to obey him. Amen, somebody. He is truth. You best believe that. He is truth and the standard for all truth, because he is truth. There's no truth beyond him. Jesus referred to him as the only true God. If he is the only eternal, self-existent being, then he is the truth, the only unchanging reality in the universe. He is the truth, somebody. He cannot lie. Amen, somebody. He cannot lie. He is the truth. Please do not get me started up in here. Lord, hold me down, please. Because as you know, I feel like preaching right now. Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of every marriage. We thank you, Lord, today that marriage was glorified, marriage was honored, marriage was beautiful again today. And in spite of all of the ones who now hate marriage, marriage was shown to be sweet today because you created it. And everybody was reminded that you did create it, and that you're the author of marriage, and that every vow that is made to you. Many around the world who have broken those vows felt guilty. Tragically, even some in that room, in that chapel, even the parents of the bride and the groom, the parent of the children getting married. And even the bride got a long look from the minister today when she said she was going to keep those vows. I believe his name is Wimley. Wimley put the eye on her and said, you better keep these vows this time. But Charles felt some guilt today. His new wife, felt some guilt. The mother of the bride felt guilt, pain, hurt, because their marriages were not successful. Millions more felt it today, convicted by the beauty of marriage, because you're beautiful. We have folks interested in a beautiful theology, but they have forgotten that you are the beautiful God. You're the author of the theology. Even there, if their theology lines up with your beautiful word, everything about you is beautiful, and that's not flattery. That's just the truth. And so what you made was beautiful. And what you made is beautiful. And marriage is beautiful. It's one of the most wonderful things on the earth. Even a person like myself, who's not considered a Romeo and Juliet romantic, I love it by your grace when I see a man get with a woman. It's a beautiful thing. It is the most beautiful thing on earth. And even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, as you know, is married to his church. It's more beautiful, Lord, than I will ever know. It's more beautiful than any of us will ever know until we get on the other side and we're sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a day. My, Lord, I can hardly contain myself. Lord, looking through a glass darkly, I am shocked and amazed at what I see. As you know, Lord, I won't be here much longer. By your grace, Lord, you will take me out of here soon, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to live in a world where a demoniac little boy with a gun who thinks it is a toy shoots his own classmates and his own teachers who tried to help him, shoots a police officer, and then does not have the guts to shoot himself, and then does not have the courage to face the judge, a human judge. No, Lord, I'm ready to go. Lord, I'm only here now, as you well know, because you've taken me to higher heights and deeper depths that I never thought I would ever see. And Lord, I'm only here now because you've given me the gravy of being able to share the gospel with people through gospel tracts and preaching your holy gospel and your holy word every day. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for all of the blessings you've bestowed upon us in our family, and we pray that you'll heal every Christian family. And after witnessing that marriage today, even though flawed, that people will go back and brush off their vows and recommit themselves to you. As Pastor Hamilton said on yesterday, he didn't make his vows to his wife. He didn't make his vows to himself. He made his vows to you, and that's the reason why he is staying with his wife through sickness and health. Help us all to have that kind of commitment in marriage and in family. And as I've shared with my children, if Megan can come out of the dysfunctional family that she came out of, and Harry can come out of the dysfunctional family he can come out of, and have a beautiful day like today, then no matter where you come from, all things are possible with you. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that promise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, heal every marriage and every family today. for your glory, praise, and honor. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please join me in reading our devotional passage from the Holy Word of God, Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. The Bible reads, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And that's what you better do. You're having trouble? You better start praying. Stop playing. Start praying. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I believe it was the preacher at the wedding today who said sometimes you have to stand alone. Sometimes you have to stand alone for God, and you don't have family, you don't have friends to stand with you. You got to go on alone. Sadly, today that Megan, coming out of a dysfunctional family, big time, with a broken marriage and divorce, I'm told that her parents got divorced at the age of 6, and there was trouble after that and pain. Sadly today, Megan, bless her heart, and she did it well, had to walk into a church with multiple millions of folks' eyes on her. Multiplied millions, rather, of folk looking at her. Church filled to the brim. She had to walk in that church by herself today. I don't know too many people who could have done that. But she did it well. She walked by herself because her father chose not to walk her down the aisle. Sometimes, folks, you got to stand alone. Allow me to see that verse again. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Sometimes, like David, my beloved, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you will. And yes, you can, by the grace of God. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge. And this is why God allows you to have to walk alone sometime. Look at what happens from verse 4 to verse 5. I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and there was nobody there to help me. No one was there to care for my soul. Bam! Look at what happens in verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge. Not my friend. Not my family member. Stand up in the back. not my girlfriend, not my boyfriend, not my wife, not my husband, not my children. My refuge is you, Lord, and you are my portion in the land of the living, in the land of the living, not only when I get to heaven, but right now. Can somebody say amen? Megan had to stand alone by herself in that door. And you listen to me very well. Considering what she was doing, marrying a white man, being a black young lady with a black mother, she wanted her white father there. Believe me when I tell you that. It would have been very helpful to her, at least in her mind, but she did it well. She stood alone. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, family will forsake you. Family will let you down. Friends will forsake you. And I have said it before, and I'll say it again. If you are a preacher, you will have an episode when people will forsake you. Your Ace Boone Coons will forsake you. Your best buds will forsake you, and that will be the greatest period in your life. Stand up straight. That'll be the best period in your life, because verse 5 happens. Verse 5 happens. Verse 5 says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, there can be no situation so distressing and so disturbing or so dangerous in which faith will not get comfort from God by and through prayer. We are apt to show our troubles too much to ourselves, aren't we? Pouring upon them, which does us no service and no good. Whereas by showing them to God, we might cast the cares upon him who careth for us, and thereby ease ourselves. I dare you, no matter how dry you may feel, to bow your head in prayer right now and cast your cares, your burdens, your fears, and your worries upon God. Ease yourself. Nor should we allow any complaint to ourselves or others which we cannot make to God when our spirits are overwhelmed by distress and filled with discouragement. Have you ever been there? When we see snares laid for us on every side, while we walk in his way, we may reflect with comfort that the Lord knoweth our path. Can somebody say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, join us in praying for the estates. Holy Father God, we pray for the family, the Christian family first, the people of the household of faith, that you would heal every Christian marriage, and healing can take place instantaneously if every person in the family has your agape love flowing through their hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and if everybody's committed to obeying the word of God. Peace, joy, happiness, And a great relationship can be had instantaneously in every marriage if everybody commits to you and to your holy word. And we pray for all churches. Lord, we pray for your church that you would help us to not only talk about revival, but to pray about revival and be about revival, and to repent of our sins, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves, and to seek your face in the church. Revive us again. And Lord, we pray for the government. We pray for everybody in government based upon your holy word. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, we pray for President Donald Trump. We pray for President Jimmy Carter, who's 94 years old and who's doing quite well and who has done quite well. And Lord, we know that you have blessed them. And we also pray for President Donald Trump, as we pray for President Reagan when he was in office, and every president since. We pray for every administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon this country, which has been blessed more than any country besides Israel in the history of the world. And we pray that you would give these leaders wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight. Pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump. We pray that you'll heal her. Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy Coordination, Chris Liddell, all leaders of federal agencies, including United States Sentencing Commission Chairman William H. Pryor, Jr., all territorial governors, including Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosello, and we pray that you would comfort those people and provide for those people who are still reeling from the hurricanes that hit them last year. We pray for all city mayors, including Daytona Beach Shores, Florida Mayor Harry H. Jennings, all members of Congress, including Georgia Senator John Isaacson. Pray for all law enforcement officials, including Daytona Beach Shores, Florida Public Safety Director Stephen Dembinski. And we pray for all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, who's doing a bang-up job. And we pray for Office of Naval Research Chief Rear Admiral David J. Hahn, leaders of nations around the world, including Norway's King Harald V and Prime Minister Erna Solberg. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David. And Lord, we pray for the people, and we pray for the citizens of this country and every other country. We pray for salvation, and we pray that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Gospel and your Holy Word to not give every heart, mind, soul, spirit, and conscience rest until they repent and trust Christ as Savior, and help us to be relentless in passing out gospel literature and preaching the gospel by any means necessary. And not only us, but everybody who names the name of Christ. Help us to get back to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We also pray for the media, the traditional media, as well as the new media, social media. Lord, save those who are lost and revive those who are saved, and help them all to stand for truth and to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all current events happening around the world, not to inform you, but to obey you, to pray for others beside ourselves. We pray for the comfort of the families of over 100 people killed in a plane crash in Cuba. Comfort those families as only you can. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 10 students killed in a high school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, and for the 10 who are injured, more who are injured, that you would heal them as well and strengthen them and heal the families as only you can and be with them as only you can. We pray for the protection of the Congo from a new Ebola outbreak. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who are still hurting after the bombings in Indonesia at churches, and we pray for the attacks on churches in Nigeria. Comfort these people and stand with them and be with them during this time. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for the prayer requests that have come in. And we thank you for the hundreds who have entrusted us with their prayer requests. And we pray that you would hear and answer all of their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Eric. Please provide him with the microphones, the sound equipment, and the power generator for the crusades and villages, as well as reading materials, pamphlets, tracts, Bibles, and educational material for the students. Bless their prayer meetings. We pray for Bushibi. Please bless and strengthen them as they fast and pray, and provide them the Bibles, water, medical, and educational material. Heal the people suffering from flooding. We pray for Ravi. Please provide him all he needs to repair their church after an earthquake. Bless them with Bibles for lost souls and new believers. Bless them with food for the disabled, sewing machines, computers, and money for village mission trips. And Lord, while I'm praying, thank you for the great ideas that you're flooding my mind with as far as outreach to those who are lost. Please bless us to be a blessing to these people. We pray for justice. Please provide him the money he needs to buy medicine for his mother and pay hospital bills. We pray for Eleanor. Please give her a new job and have the people from her former job to pay her the money she is owed. And Holy Father God, we do pray. Based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we pray that you'll bless these people with what they need. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon, Lord, these dear people, every last one of them, totaling in the hundreds of folks who have sent us prayer requests. Lord, meet every need. And Lord, help us to pray for them throughout this day. Lord, we also pray that you'll bless us with over $3 million or more to help these dear pastors, evangelists, missionaries in countries all around the world who actually have ministries going that are working, that we can be a conduit of blessing to them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake we continue. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry already. We pray for G. We pray for Tammy. We pray for Borquette. And Lord, help these to grow in the faith and help us to be the disciplers of the disciples still in this day. Lord, help us to do the work of the early church and to do it your way and not ours. And help us to do as Paul talked about, sow the seed and water the seed. And we know that you will grant the increase. And we also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Helena. We pray for Megan. And we pray for Christine. And Lord, help these to stand strong in the faith, not to go back into the world, and to love you back, to trust you, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. And Lord, we commit these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands. And Lord, I am very pleased to know that we are in your hands, whether we live or die. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Holy Father God, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to grow deeper in you. Lord, help us to do that by reading your holy word and praying without ceasing, and obeying your holy word in every detail. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved. And we know that you're able, and we believe that you're going to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Commitment and Purpose by Dr. Billy Graham. Commitment and Purpose by Dr. Billy Graham. Romans 12, 11 and 12 says, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. My. Each generation becomes more addicted to the sedatives of life, to dull the pain of living, oppressed by a sense of triviality and thwarted purpose. Men find no great goal or commitment to draw them, and no inner stimulation to give meaning to their existence. Christ can save you from the bane of boredom. And that is so true. We have too many Christians sitting like this with the heads resting on their hands. That's the universal sign of boredom. Jesus Christ, believe you me, if you have Christ in your life, Daniel, Ezekiel, sit up straight. If you have Christ in your life, he can deliver you from the bane of boredom. This is impossible. Listen to me very carefully. If you have Christ in your life, I just believe it's impossible to be bored with life. I just don't understand it. If Christ is living in your life, if you're truly born again, I have never been bored since I've been saved. I was bored before I got saved, but I have never been bored since I've been saved. He waits to give you a fresh sense of direction. Yes, he does. And to take dissatisfaction out of your life. Yes, he will. Are you satisfied? I hope you are. If you are not satisfied, Jesus cannot be reigning in your life. I talked recently with a man, Billy Graham said, in my own community, who was converted to faith in Christ. I hadn't known what to do with my leisure time. He told me, but now I have a sense of commitment and purpose that I never knew before. And every child of God, if you're born again, you will have that sense of commitment and purpose. The Jesus in you will give you that get up and go, and that mind to want to work while you can work before night cometh, because once night comes, you cannot work anymore. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you again for this time together around your holy word and prayer. And Lord, we thank you that it has been a blessing to so many. And we thank you for being a blessing to us and through us. It is the greatest joy of my life after being saved to be used by you to proclaim your holy gospel and to encourage the young saints in the Lord. And Lord, as you know, I don't have much interest in encouraging the old saints, but if you can use me to do that, that's just ice cream on top. And thank you for the joy. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the gravy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Why should you be saved? Because you are a sinner, the Bible says. I am a sinner. All of us have sinned against God, and we're on our way to a devil's hell, but God wants us to be on our way to heaven when we die, because he really loves us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart. Sit up straight. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. He did it for you, to save you from hell and to save you to heaven. If you would simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in me, not the preacher, I don't want your money. And you don't have to give any money. You don't have to join the church to be saved. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved today from sin and hell and have a home in heaven, pray with me the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight, and I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said, believe on the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you, is my prayer. Now, we're going to try to sing a new song today. And we'll do that other song tomorrow morning, the Redeemer song. But let's do the We Have Come This Far by Faith. Don't you know we've come this far by faith? Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. My God is there, He never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around and this far by faith. Sing it like you mean it. Come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. Come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. My God never failed me. He never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Watch this. I will trust in Thy Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. Till I'm die. Sing it like a minute. You trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Die. I am going to stay on the back.